And Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. It is program number 533 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. We have 34 degrees and fog and overcast skies and cloud cover here in central Minnesota. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Mike Bodin. Mike, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We are doing wonderful. And are you at home today, Mike? Where do you make home?
Yep, I make home down in Montgomery, Minnesota, and actually am home today. Actually just got home today.
Okay, good. And so born and raised in Montgomery, Mike, or where did you get started?
Yep, born and raised down in Montgomery, Minnesota, on a dairy and hog farm.
Okay.
And kind of just grew up listening to polka music in the barn while milking the cows, and took an interest and then started playing it later on in life.
Okay. So did you take band in school at all?
I did, yep. I started in 7th grade and went through grade 12.
Okay. And taking bass horn, or what did you play in band?
So I started on trombone in my 6th and 7th grade, our 7th grade year, and then they switched me. They said I was full of hot air, so they switched me to tuba.
Okay. And that... And, of course, tuba players are usually at a premium, so how did that connect from high school to getting in the band? Right away or in grade high school, or when did you start playing?
Yep, no, so the way it started out was, interestingly enough, my original band director, Miss Beverly Volkman, was a trumpet player for, at the time, she played with the Dale Pexa band.
Oh, yeah.
And so she was my band director starting out. And I never knew that until, she kind of told me she played with some bands. I didn't really know which band she played with. And then she went away. But in the meantime, I started playing with, of course, Larry Novotny and John Novotny at their sports shop down in Montgomery. I also played with... of course, John Dietz, which we then started the band called the Twin Lakes Trio in high school.
Oh, wow, okay.
We started playing with him at his sister's bakery in Montgomery, JD's Bakery. And then from there, we kind of just, jam sessions, that kind of thing. And we played our first job at the Lutheran Church in Montgomery. And then from there, we kind of just slowly kept taking jobs. And then I started playing with this band called the All You Can Eat Band, which I did very well at, and they took me to different places, and that's when I met Dale Pexa Sr., who was the Dale Texa band, and that's when I started playing with him.
Okay.
I can keep going. So then along with Dale Pexa, he played with Gordy Prochazka.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gordy Prochazka played with Dale Pexa at the time. And Gordy also had his own band. So then I started playing with Gordy's band, which is how I ended up with some of his recordings. And then, last but surely not least, Chris Kelchin and the Riverbend Dutchman, who I play with most of the time right now.
Okay. So you're still active then yet?
Yep. I'm still very active in the polka musician and as a polka musician. Actually, we're playing, I think, New Year's Day up in, why can't I think of the name of the ballroom? Lake Marion Ballroom.
Oh, really?
Up there.
Over in Broughton, yeah.
With Chris, and the Riverbend Dutchman.
Okay.
And then I also picked up the Little Fisherman Library. I actually bought that library now.
Yeah, and that's another story. So Gordy, a good friend of both you and me, we knew him very well, passed away. And I guess he was down in Arizona, huh, when he passed away?
Yes. Yep, that's correct.
And
he was sick, and it was too bad. But go ahead.
He was not an old man. I mean, I think he was about my age or even younger. I'm 72, and I think he was only maybe 69 or 68 when he passed away, wasn't he?
Yep, that's about right. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't have the exact year, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Gordy was a little bit about Gordy. He was a great musician, wasn't he? He was a promoter, and so he actually bought the library from the Wilkie family, huh?
That is correct. He bought it from the Norm Wilkie family.
Yeah.
Norm, I never got to really know him, but I always enjoyed the music that came out of that library.
Oh, for sure.
And even before Gordy had passed, he was saying he wasn't going to probably use that library much anymore. He always said he was going to make another recording, but I had a feeling it wasn't going to happen. But I talked to him and I asked him if and when he decided he wanted to sell that library, if he would want to do some business with me and we could work something out. And he said definitely for sure. He kind of even worked out a price and stuff, but then he passed away and we just I kind of left it as that. But his daughter was nice enough to oblige me with letting me get my hands on that library as well, because that's the one thing I will be trying to do is get that library back up and moving and working again.
Sure. Yeah. And, you know, I've mentioned it in conversation to several people, and in this day and age, they ask, why would you want to try to take on a library and do things with it? There's still a lot of interest in bands and music, isn't there?
Yes, I really, truly believe so. Even sometimes my children who are in high school band, two of them are in high school band and one's in eighth grade and so on and so on down the line. But they all play some sort of musical instrument, which is really fun to be part of and witness and get to be part of. And they've even asked, is there any parts where I can, you know, use a trombone, a tuba? You know, my oldest son plays tuba just like I do.
Okay.
And bass guitar. And my second oldest plays trombone. So hopefully at some point, you know, with five children, maybe I can start a band at some point. I don't know.
You bet.
We'll see how it goes.
So the books that are written for the Little Fisherman Orchestra, what would feature, what, about a seven-piece band or six-piece? Or what do you need?
Correct. So, yeah, basically I have three saxes or clarinets.
Okay.
They kind of switch back and forth during the course of the arrangements. And then two trumpets, sometimes a trombone. There's a few over there. There's a couple of Barry sax parts in there for certain modern and swing type stuff. I'm really excited. So yeah, basically a nine piece. You got piano, concertina, drums, three saxes and two trumpets.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. And, over the years with the bands you've played with, rubbed elbows with enough, you know, enough good musicians that are still there that, can outfit the band, and fill all the books, right?
Yep, right now, yep, we still have plenty of horn players, and I do know a lot of good ones. There's a ton of good guys that I've played with over the years here, and I'm really excited to, at some point, like I said, I don't want to, I love Chris's band, and I love playing with his band, but I definitely want to try to get some work for these books. They need to be heard, and that's for sure, so.
Well, and
one way or the other, we'll figure out a way.
You remind me of John Dietz. I've had conversations with John too, and he recently bought the Jolly Brewers library from Dale Damon before he passed away. And John, the same thing. Not playing a lot, but when the occasion arises, he's got a good library too. And those libraries are still very valuable. There was a lot of work put into those libraries, weren't there?
Yes. So I went through and I've been cataloging all the libraries. And some of the more interesting things that you find in those libraries are people's wedding anniversary dates that were written on the music because they were trying to take them in between songs. Different comments, certain trumpet players didn't like a certain song, so they would write on the song that they didn't like, and they'd make fun of the name of the song. Things like that. It's interesting to see how this has progressed over the years. And I just told that to John the other day when I gave him a call and talked to him, you know.
Sure.
The two of us from a little town of Montgomery, you know,
yeah,
get together, start our own band. He moves on with that band. I play with some other bands around here. And lo and behold, we both end up buying a different library for two big bands that
yeah.
we both enjoy playing with.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. Love to hear those that those libraries continue on. And there's been a number of good bands over the years, and kind of following where some of those libraries have landed up. I know Jerry Minara has a couple of libraries. I think he currently has the Jerry Schuft and Elmer Earl Schmidt libraries, and I believe he's got the Babe Wagner library, and I think he might have one more yet. So you know, it's nice to see those come out and be played once in a while.
I agree, 100% agree. I know Jerry had the Babe Wagner tribute last year in New Ulm.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So, yeah, I know I saw him down there, and actually at Pioneer Power in Le Sueur. So then it was the Jolly Brewers alongside of the Babe Wagner band on the stage there. They played side by side, battle of the band, so to speak.
You bet. Now, Mike, you know, back in the days, that was just a way of life. I mean, there was big bands, you know, Whoopi John, Six Fat Dutchmen, Elmer Scheid, Fez Fritchie. They were all competing for, ballrooms, but there was so many of them around. And on any given night, you could see three, four, five of those big bands, and you had to make a decision which one you wanted to go see. And nowadays, boy, if one is playing someplace, that's a novelty, huh?
That's what I'm seeing, and that's why I'm hoping, you know, just to, you know, I don't want to fill my whole entire year with band jobs, but I definitely would love to get that music out and get it played again, you know, even from... I'm looking at some of the older stuff that Gordy didn't use a ton of from Norm Wilkie. But there's some really interesting and fun stuff in there.
You
that
bet.
Hadn't been done. They used to do gang vocals during songs. And,
oh, yeah.
And things like that I think would be fun to try to bring back into the
Absolutely, field. Absolutely. And, you know, when you're in the business, and I've been in the music business and heard from the different band leaders that I've played for and participated with, and there's always criticism. So people, the general consensus of the band leaders around here, that they like the Norm Wilkie sound better than Gordy's The Little Fisherman sound back in the days, because I think he did play some of those originals more so than Gordy did. I don't know, but I mean that more times than not, I think people are more partial to the original than when somebody takes over. Very similar to Cactus when he had the Jolly Brewers versus Ernie Koopman having the Jolly Brewers.
Sure, and that's kind of what my goal is to. I don't want to forget about what Gordy did for that band, because that's the amount of arranging he had done, whether
yep.
it be Melmer or our Arndt
yep.
arrangements. You know, there's a lot of work put in just during his time frame. But
you bet.
There was some stuff that we just didn't do, and there's a few that are missing some parts, so I don't know if I'll be able to get them all back up and running. But just to try to play some of that stuff that just had some really neat, you know, 1950s, big band, which is a lot of what it was arranged there was 1959, 58, 57, kind of in that area. And
sure.
It sounds really cool.
Well, and you've got, you know, at your stage in life there with the kids coming up, It'd be just so neat to see the kids have a chance to experience some of that that you and I have, you know, over the years. There's not a lot of opportunities out there for the most part like there was when we were growing up.
Agreed.
You bet. Well, Mike, if you can hold that thought for just a moment, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. I'm going to take a moment to read the ad for the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All righty. So, 'twas the week after Christmas when the St. Joe Meat Market sent out glad tidings for the new year. With a boisterous shout, the stuffers were idle, the shop was bare, in hopes that New Year's Eve would soon be here. Sausages were nestled, all snug in their buns, with visions of condiments lathered upon. With spices in the hopper and salt in the brine, all had settled in for the hopes of a sign that 2025 will bring happiness and everything fine. Now fennel, now pepper, now fibrous and linker, now scraper, now soaker, don't be a stinker. To the top of the rack, to the end of the hall, smoke away, smoke away, smoke away all. From the St. Joe Meat Market to those we wish to delight, a prosperous 2025 to all, and to all a good night. From the sausage crew, Jesse, Ryan, Roger, Mark, Sarah, Nolan, Gage, all of our other employees, management, and staff, Happy New Year, and you all come in and see us real soon. And that is from the St. Joe Meat Market. Gordy, for being our guest, Mike, for being our guest here on our program. You've been here before. You know how it works. We'll get a nice package put up at the meat market, and along with KASM, we'll send that off to you. Hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. And how did that work out last time?
That worked out great. The food was, the meats were wonderful.
Well, good.
No complaints at all. It was wonderful stuff.
Wonderful. And I'll talk to you off the air about that, but we'll probably send that out next week. We got that holiday right in the middle of the week, so that package will wind up sitting in a warehouse someplace, and we don't want that. So we usually mail them out on a Monday where it goes straight through. You get it within a day or two, so we'll probably shoot for that.
No problem.
All righty.
Thank you.
You bet. And Mike, so we got tuba players up here listening in, and they're always curious. What do you play for a tuba? What do you have?
Oh, sure. So I do have two tubas, but mostly I only play a Con 20J. It's about a 1960 model.
Okay.
And then I do have a Meinl Weston from Getzen, Germany, a four-valve rotary that I used to play a lot more of. I'll bring it out once in a while just for fun and nostalgia's sake.
Okay. Very good. And over the years, I'm sure you have watched and probably rubbed elbows with a few good tuba players. Care to mention a few of them?
Oh, my. Well, you know, I would be not mentioning Bud Schrader, Gary Schrader out of New Ulm. He's one of my favorites to listen to.
You bet.
And, of course, we lost a wonderful tuba player, and my brain just stopped working. But I know you know it out of Wisconsin.
Well,
why can't I think of his name?
I was going to.
Well, there's a bunch out of Wisconsin. I can't even think of all their names right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Actually, one of my favorites, names are terrible when I try to go for names. there's not too many tuba players I don't like to listen to because it always gives me something to listen to and learn from or try to pick up something that I hadn't picked up before.
You bet. Frank Gillespie is the one that comes to mind.
Thank you. Yes, that was one of them. Yep, one of them.
And he's still going.
Yep, and I love Frank. Yeah, no, I love Frank. Frank is a great guy. And I'm thinking of Rainbow Valley Dutchman.
Jimmy Dorschner.
Jimmy Dorschner. He was.
Oh my
man, that was one of my idols. He was a.
Absolutely. When I go to my collection of music, that's usually one of the first CDs I'll pull up is a Dorschner CD because, him on that faithful bassist and some of those recordings. My goodness, that guy did things on the tuba that, probably Stan Fries could do, but that's about it, huh?
And that was going to be my other one was Stan Fries he was one of my favorites. I actually have a Tuba is Beautiful album.
Yep.
And I still play that one.
You bet. Yeah, and I've been a drummer for a lot of years now, and I have always connected with the tuba player. We've got a good one up here. Probably know Jay Patterson.
Oh yeah, Jay. Yeah. So I know for a while he played for Dale Texas band.
Yes, he did. He's played for a lot of bands. Irwin Cease. He's been with Cleet Koblish, Ivan Kale. He's been just all over the place too. But when you sit in the back row as a drummer, and that bass horn player, you just kind of connect with him. And I've got another buddy up here, Ron Eichmeyer, played with Gil Stiles and Ray Dronnell bands up here in central Minnesota over the years. Harlan Panoff, Harlanders out of Maple Lake, Annandale area.
Sure,
and it's just something special to be back there with that bass horn. The rhythm section, it just, you know, if you stop playing or the drummer stops playing, people look around like, what happened? What you know?
Yep, exactly correct.
Because you can let one of the saxes or the trumpets, you know, I mean, it's not as noticeable, but boy, that bass horn and drummer, that is really vital to a good old-time polka band.
I would agree. I would agree.
You bet. Yeah.
No impartiality there.
No, no. And I'll tell you, I've got my list of concertina players that I have played behind, and I'm sure you as well. And I just added another one to the list. We had a birthday party up here for the Minnesota Dutchman. They just released a new CD late this summer, I should say. And Jerry Notch is the leader of the band. He's actually a cousin to me. He's the drummer. But Larry Olson played for his birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
And they got Larry up there. Larry got me up there to drum. And so I've now played with Larry, played a couple of sets with him. And what a talented concertina player.
Yeah, I played with a bunch of concertina players, and most of them was at the Gibbon Polka Fest. That's where you know, if you play the jam session at the Polka Fest, you get to play with a ton of concertina players.
So
and
much
I think
fun.
Another one I think I always think of is, you know, I've sat in with Carl. I've sat in with Brian. Let's see. Holy cow. Jerry Minar, of course. I've played hundreds of jobs with Jerry.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many. And they're so good.
Probably Lowell Schubert.
Lowell, yep. Oh, yes. Lowell.
Yeah, he's good.
I'll probably see him on the first, I bet.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he's come and sat in with Chris, and I love Lowell's a great guy. I love him.
He is so smooth. I like playing with him. I also had the honor to sit in with Jerry Schuft and play with him a couple of occasions, and also I'm trying to think of who else I had played with, but Johnny Gogg came to a job one night and sat in with us a couple of sets, and oh my gosh, did that guy have energy!
We had Johnny Gogg. I played with him at the B&L Bar in New Ulm. John Henley was there, the trumpet player, of course. We all went down there. That was a night that I'll probably never remember.
Yeah.
Because it was so much fun.
Oh. And sadly, I should interject here, too. I don't know if you were aware, if anybody contacted you, but I don't know if you knew Wayne Ripke from Storm Lake, Iowa.
Yes.
He passed away yesterday.
Yep. I just saw that. I did see that yesterday, actually, yes.
Yep, and I had him on the radio show back in February of this year, and at that time...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was really going good at that time yet and still playing, but, we all get our turn, I guess.
We did a jam session. I remember I sat in, and I remember him introducing himself, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but...
Yep.
But... You know, you don't get to play with everybody, and that's the same with tuba players.
Yep.
We never get to hang out much. There's probably a reason for that.
Yeah.
Assuming it's to keep ourselves out of trouble. But.
There you go. Well, good. Well, Mike, you know, we're getting to that time of the program. I'm going to feature music by the Little Fishermen, and we're going to I've still got some music that Gordy's daughter had sold me at the time that Gordy had passed away, so I don't have all of the CDs on hand, but I have some of them. I've got three of them in front of me right now, Volume 6, Volume 8, and Volume 9, and I see your name on all three of them.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, so we'll feature music off of those three in the next half hour. I know. Awesome. I don't remember what you told us last time, but at this time of the program, I usually ask you for a memory if there's something special that you'd want to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise. What have you got for us today?
Oh, I'll give you a good memory. Good memory of Gordy. The memory I got of him is the Czech Republic, playing over there for 2 weeks with the Dale Texa band, figuring out that he was just a world of fun every time we got together. And making music with him was a special experience. Not only him, but even Dale Texa Senior.
Yep.
You know, now that he's gone, and I tell you what, those are the guys that I Texas Senior, he was the one that brought me through the ranks, so like brought me from okay to pretty much where I am, and then Gordy helped me get there too, and like I without those guys I wouldn't be where I am now.
You bet. And I got a little bit of a taste of what Gordy's personality was like. He would, when I would call him for CDs the last couple of years here, if he was around, he would rather run them up to St. Joe and deliver them in person than mail them. And he'd come in the meat market, and he'd ask me to come out and sit in the truck, and I'd have to take my break because it would usually be 20 minutes or more visiting with him, and he had so much knowledge. But he used to be a police officer in St. Joe's, so he had stories to share with me. And right now, my son is the current police chief in St. Joe. Their times didn't overlap, but he knew that Dwight was now the police chief, and my son Dwight knows of him being on the staff back in the days. So pretty neat stuff there.
Yes, I agree 100%. It was good guys.
You
good
bet.
Guy in general.
Well, good. Are you guys working at all for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? Well, you mentioned Chris is playing on New Year's Day, huh?
Yep, so New Year's Day with Chris over at that Lake Marion Ballroom. That's, I believe, 1 till 5. That'll be a great time. I'm excited to get back and play a little bit. We had a little bit of time off here, which is, like I said, I've been working on that library of Gordy's trying to organize everything. But other than that, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing on this New Year's Day.
Okay.
To start off the year with a good polka show.
There you go.
Chris and the Riverbend.
Riverbend Dutchman, you bet. And
yeah,
I should have asked you sooner, but you still manning a day job, or are you retired?
Wish I was retired. Well, now, right now, just tired.
Just tired.
I still work at Canterbury Park in Shakopee.
Oh, you do? Track. Okay, good.
Yep, been there for 23 years now. I don't know. I can't count that high anywhere.
Very good. And family, you have a wife and kids too?
Oh, yes. My wife, Angie, she's the one that, the reason I'm not homeless probably.
Okay, uh-huh.
Because when you're on the road with the band and work and everything, it's a good thing she's home and can
keep stuff.
And then I got my children.
Yep.
18 down to 8, all five of them.
Oh, my,
three
okay.
Boys, two girls. Two girls play piano, and the boys play, Maddox plays clarinet, and Max plays trombone, and Maverick plays bass, or tuba and bass guitar. And oh, and Max plays, I forgot, he plays a little bit of electric guitar as well.
Okay, so, and the girls' names?
Annika and Adeline.
Okay, very good. Very good. Well, that's awesome. Well, we could go on forever here, Mike. This is just so entertaining and so interesting, and I know our listeners totally enjoy it, but the longer we talk, the less time I have to play some of your music, so we want to do that too.
And I understand that too.
You bet. So that's just seed for another show again. So we wish you well. We hope that you get things off the ground with the Little Fisherman Orchestra, with the library, and you know, like I told you last time, if the good Lord is willing, you and I are here. We'll do this thing again down the road sometime. How's that?
That sounds wonderful. And I'll let you know when we start getting some gigs.
That's perfect. I appreciate that. All righty. Mike, we're going to let you run. Have a great afternoon. And I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment.
Sounds good.
And there he goes, Mike Boudin, our 533rd guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Little Fisherman Orchestra in just moments. Alrighty, Larry Razavian is out of town checks, wrapping up there, wrapping up our 533rd edition of our Musicians Come and Play. Mike Boudin, our guest here, purchasing the Little Fisherman Orchestra from the Prochaska family. And boy, what a wonderful guest. We're going to feature music right now with Mike on playing bass on some of these recordings. This comes off of their Volume 8. Gordy Prochaska and the Little Fisherman Orchestra, and Mike on the bass horn. Yep, there he is. And we're going to start out with one called the Redbird Polka, the Little Fisherman Orchestra. Thank you. And that is Gordy Prohaska and the Little Fisherman Orchestra. Mike Bodine on the bass horn, Becky Ord, Barefoot Becky, on the keyboard, Leon Hafner on sax and clarinet, John Henley on trumpet, Ambrose Cadet playing concertina, Frank Melmer on sax, clarinet, trumpet, and trombone, George Palma doing some concertina work, Ray Valick on the drums, Mary Williams on sax, clarinet, and piano, Gordy Prohaska, band leader, sax, clarinet, and concertina. Great recording there. Their volume 8, Hook, Line, and Sinker. We're going to go into a nice waltz time and one called the Bohemian Memories Waltz. Gordy Prohaska and the Little Fisherman Orchestra, a great recording there of an Elmer Scheid tune. That was Bohemian Memories. 23 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We have a temperature reading of 34 degrees here in central Minnesota. And we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting me, happy 2025 to all of the listeners from everyone at Jeannie B's Tours. Thank yous go out to the travelers who chose Jeannie B's the past tour season. Jeannie B's staff is working hard, putting the final touches on the 2025 tour itineraries, hoping to have a great selection of one-day, overnights, minications, extended motor coach, and extended flyouts and motor coach tours. Call Jeannie B's Tours 320-345-1581 to have a new 2025 tour schedule sent to you, or just stop by the office downtown Freeport Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Meet and greet tour information sessions will be on the 29th of January from 9 until 11:30 at Jill's Cafe in Richmond, and also Sal's Bar and Grill in St. Joe, from 1 p.m. till 3:30. Now, these meet and greets are for all those interested in the 2025 extended flyout tours like Ireland, Germany, Norway, New England, Alaska, Canadian Rockies, Danube River Cruise, the Panama Canal Cruise, and more. On June 30th, you can join Jeannie B at Tutti Frutti in Sox Center from 9 until 10:30, and the Travelers Inn in Alexandria from 1 until 2:30, for details for the 2025 Motor Coach Tours. Jeannie B. will be at Perkins in St. Cloud, the Crossroads location, on January 31st from 1 until 2:30. Invite your friends and family to join you at one of these locations for tour information and treats and prizes. Bring your ideas and your calendars and have fun planning your 2025 adventures with Jeannie B's Tours. Call 320-345-1581 for meet and greets, dates, and locations. Remember, seeing is believing. And you know what? I just have to take my hat off to Jeannie. We were with them on Christmas Day over at Dwight and Amy's place, and she just is full of excitement. Jeannie just doesn't slow down, and it's so much fun to listen to Jeannie talk about all the anticipation, all the trips that she is planning again for this year. And she has got so many ideas. There's Polka Fest that she would like to do, and so don't think that she's sitting by idle. She is just trying to dream up whatever folks would like to travel to and enjoy. So give her a call. Jeannie B's Tours, proudly bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. More music on the way with the Little Fisherman Orchestra. And yeah, joy hearing those tuba solos like in that last selection. Mike Boudin, just a wonderful sounding tuba player. Right now, it's one called the Grain Belt Polka, the Little Fisherman Orchestra. The Little Fisherman Orchestra. Boy, another nice tuba solo in that one there. One called the Grain Belt Polka. 28 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 34 degrees here in central Minnesota. Another lively polka coming your way. It's one called the Three Yanks Polka. The Little Fisherman Orchestra. Thank you. Gordy Prochazka and the Little Fisherman Orchestra with the Three Yanks Polka. Here's a nice Landler tune, one called the Barefoot Landler. Gordy and the Little Fisherman. Ambrose Cadet there on that concertina solo with the Barefoot Landler. 26 minutes before the hour, 1 o'clock, time for just a couple more. Here's another pretty tune, another Elmer Scheid original. I think it was probably one called the Pretty Girl Polka, the Little Fisherman Orchestra. The Little Fisherman Orchestra, one called the Pretty Girl Polka. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet, and we're going to do that with a nice, it's a Babe Wagner number, one called the Spring Flower Waltz, the Little Fisherman Orchestra, their rendition of it. Little Fisherman Orchestra with the Spring Flower Waltz. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for dancing feet here on KASM.